1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2. Whoa. Hello. Hasta la vista. Shalom, shalom. Este moro a chevere se vedevi da mio amico? Yeah, it's not bad. It's good. Hey! All right! Yeah, it's not overwhelming.
Check. Start counting at 10. 10, 9, 8. Who's ready? Let's get on your feet.
Rock, rock the big boat. Rock the boat. Rock, rock the big boat. Rock the boat. Rock, rock the big boat. Rock the boat. Rock, rock the big boat.
Now Noah was devoted, a good and faithful man. But the earth was a cruel and nasty place, so God revealed his plan. Soon he said to Noah, this is what you're gonna build, a boat so big and wide you and a zoo can fit inside. They're gonna
build the boat, build, build the big boat, build the boat, build, build the big boat, build the boat, build, build the big boat, build the boat, build.
So work on the boat began by Noah and his kin. God said you gotta go build it big, so that's just what they did. When Noah was 600, the ark was finally done. The animals came, God shut the door, the flooding had begun.
They're gonna rock the boat, rock, rock the big boat. Rock the boat, rock, rock the big boat. Now pull the rope. Now do it all. One, two, three.
We're gonna rock the boat. Rock, rock the big boat. Rock the boat. Rock, rock the big boat. Rock the boat. Rock, rock the big boat. Rock the boat. Rock, rock the big boat.
Bye. a long day. I'm out of breath. I'm not used to dancing. Okay, I was going to open up with the scripture and I can't breathe. I might need an inhaler. Okay. I know, I'm sinking over there. I hope I have time to breathe for a minute before I had to come up. I'm like, oh, we're ready to go up. Okay, all right. Well, I want to open up with the scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, say the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And I want to say tonight, kids, God has a hope for you tonight. God has a hope for a future for you tonight. And his plans are good. His plans is not for disaster. And his plans were destined for you at birth. Before you were even in existence, he had a plan for you. He knitted you in your mother's womb. He had a plan for you. And the future for you tonight, he has a plan. I know we had fun at the park, and we had the games, and we had all that fun stuff. But he has a plan. And it's designed just for you. And so I just wanted to open that scripture, and that's what we based this weekend on, that scripture. Because he has a plan, and that he is a hope for you. And sometimes you lay in bed at night, and you think, is there a hope for me tomorrow? He has a hope. There's a hope. And you can rely on him. You can't rely on this world, but you can rely on him. He will not let you down ever. So, and then I just want to thank you all for coming, because me and Debbie, we can't do it without you. We love each and every one of you, and I want to thank all the helpers that helped us. There's too many to name each one. I just want to thank everyone from the smallest to the oldest that helped us, from the smallest help to the biggest help, to the prayer team that took their time and prayed, to the people that picked up trash. I just want to thank everyone that helped us. I want to say a special thanks to Cassie. For making all these props and painted all this stuff. Also, thanks Pastor Randy for coming today and ministering today at the Kids Crusade and coming this weekend. Special thanks for that. I just want to thank you for that. So,
all right. Yep. Ditto whatever she, everything she said. We're thankful that you guys are here. We're thankful for everybody tonight. So we're going to worship tonight. And we're going to have Pastor Randy come after that, and we're so excited that he's here. And then at the end of service, we're going to have prayer, and we have some door prizes. Anybody interested in some prizes? Yeah? Okay. We're going to do door prizes. If you didn't get a bag of groceries yet, make sure when you leave later, you grab a bag of groceries for your family. And also, last year, how many remember the foam machine? So I told Pastor Randy, said we could borrow it. So I said, we probably don't want it this year, right? We don't need it? You don't need it? Okay. So I'll just tell him to put it away and we won't use it this year. Or should we use it? Should we use the foam machine? Okay. So thank you to Pastor Randy for bringing that. So that's our plan tonight. We want you to stand with us. We want you to come forward. We're going to worship. So everybody come fill in up here. We're going to pray before we get started tonight. All right. God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for every child, every adult here today. We are so blessed. We thank you that you have brought them into our lives. God, we pray a special blessing on each one tonight. May they receive the word. Let their heart be good ground so the seeds can be planted and grown this evening. God, help us to go away with a revelation in our heart, with a message that we won't forget. Jesus, help us to serve you all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,
into the night, wanting a place to hide this weary soul. This vagabond, and I tried with all my might, and I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, a vagabond. And just when I ran out of rope, I met a man I didn't know, and he told me that I was not alone. He picked me up, he turned me around, placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the master, I thank the savior, because he healed my heart, changed my not what I see. Got no choice but to believe. My doubts are burning like ashes in the wind. So, so long to my old friends. Burden and bitterness, you can just keep it moving. Nah, you ain't welcome here. Now till I walk the streets of gold, I'll sing of how you saved my soul. This wayward son has found his way back home. Oh, he picked me up, turned me around, he placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the master, I thank the savior, because he healed my heart, changed my name. Savior, I thank God. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Hell lost another one.
Get up out of that grave.
Because he
Savior, because He healed my heart, changed my name forever. Free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God. Fire wind coming, do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in.
you guys are up here, some of you, this may be weird to you, and that's all right. This is totally okay to feel different. Maybe this is not what you think church has looked like for you in the past. But can I tell you that we believe that it should be exciting when we're worshiping Jesus. That it is exciting to know that because of what he did for us years and years ago, we can live forever. That's exciting. So I want to do it. We're going to sing that bridge again. But if you can, just close your eyes. And see, what we do is we raise our hands as a sign of worship and surrender unto him. So what I feel like we need to do tonight, because, listen, just because you guys are young doesn't mean that you can't set the atmosphere in the room. I'm asking for you guys just to, everyone, just close your eyes and lift your hands all the way across the room. Don't worry about what your friend's doing. Just close your eyes and lift your hands. And what I want you to do as we're singing this song, I just want you to start praying to Jesus. Start thanking him that you can freely worship him, that you can openly stand in the church service and just sing about him. You can thank him, and we're going to just let his Holy Spirit move for just a little bit longer, okay?
So, Holy Spirit, come rest on us. You're all we want. You're all we want. Holy Spirit, come rest on us. You're all we want.
Presence in your spirit that we want. And that's it. Just want you in our life. It's all we need. For you will protect us. You will guide us. You will show us what we need to do, the things that scare us, the things that try to interrupt our life. Lord, it's your spirit that gives us peace. Father, I thank you that right now you're giving peace in every heart and mind that's here. Lord, you're already beginning to do a work. And as your word comes forth, you're going to just finish your work, Lord. God, I thank you right now for your presence that is with us, that you are manifesting, you're showing yourself to us right now. And you're making yourself real to us, Lord. We thank you for it so much, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. This is what I want you to do real quietly. Just go back and find your seat, sit down. Thank you all for coming up and praising Jesus with us. We love that. We We love that here. I'm so excited about what God's doing here and all the fun that we had and we're going to continue to have. And how many know that it's fun to learn about Jesus? It's very fun to learn about Jesus. And so we're going to do that next here. And I just wanted to, they asked me to introduce this guy that's going to be coming and talking to you. I would, but I don't even know him. Like, I don't even know who he is. So I guess he's this guy in these crazy shorts, if you want to call them that. I don't even know what they are over here. No, I'm just teasing around. This is actually my brother. Not physically, but spiritually. And we have, technically, we could say we've traveled the world together, right? We've been clear over to Kenya together, ministered in Kenya together. I always listen to me, kids. Whenever I go over and help our pastor, Pastor Peter Dosik is our pastor. Whenever I go and help on crusades, I always make sure I take one day and get to go around with this guy and go into the schools. And it's so much fun to go. We actually, I don't know if you guys understand this, but we actually get to go into the schools. And Pastor Randy gets to preach the gospel. He shares Jesus with the kids over there in Kenya in the schools. And we've seen so many cool things happen. Last time we were in Kisii area that I was with him, that was last year. We didn't get to go this year. Me and him both didn't get to go this year, but we went to Kisii area. That's a big town in the nation of Kenya, in kind of more of a mountainous or hilly area. And we had to drive up in these crazy roads. There is no pavement. We're bouncing around in the vehicles and going up into these schools. And we got to see some cool stuff. Do you remember the library, Pastor Randy? We got to check out the library. It was like paperback books falling apart that were like stuck on like one shelf, and they called it the library. It was just crazy. But we've got to witness so many cool things. And I just want you to understand, young people, that God is here. And the person who's getting ready to give the word and share the word is a person who's very sensitive to the Spirit of God. As we were singing, Holy Spirit, you're all we want. That's all he wants. And we've seen God do so many cool things in kids' lives. Now, he preaches more to just kids. That's not the only, but he has been preaching to children for what, man? Long time now. 17 years he's been preaching to kids. And so he has a heart for you. Let me just share one story. I don't know why I just keep feeling like I'm supposed to share this story, and Pastor Randy can correct the numbers for me because I don't quite remember. But some of the schools that we're invited to go to, and I didn't get to go. I was at the crusade, but I didn't get to go into the school with him. It was a report that came back later. But some of them that we go to are already Christian schools. And that's one reason why they open the door and let them in. And even though it's a public school, they're very big on Christianity sometimes. And so they want the gospel to come ministered. And so Pastor Randy is getting ready to give an invitation to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And he just stops because he's sensed by the Holy Spirit. And he said, how many of you have already asked Jesus into your life? And the whole student body, and was it like 200? Like 200 kids, they all raised their hand. Every one of them was already a Christian. And so Pastor Randy realized, okay, God wants to do something really cool in this place. Because you've already received Jesus, you're already followers of Jesus Christ. And so then he asked, how many of you have been filled with his Spirit and spoke in a different language? And none of them raised their hand. And so Pastor Randy begins to pray by the leading of the Spirit of God over this whole student body, like 200 and some kids. And Pastor Randy can tell it better than me, but all of a sudden the presence of God began to sweep over that whole student body. And every one of those students began to speak in another language as the Spirit gave them the ability to say it. Isn't that pretty cool? The presence of God. Holy Spirit, you're all we want. You're all we want in this place. Amen? And so God has something for you tonight, kids. And why don't you go ahead and give him a round of applause as he comes. We're going to turn it over to him. Thank you so much, Pastor Randy, for being here.
Thanks, Brother Joe. Appreciate it, man. Love you, buddy.
Love you, man.
Yeah, he came, he's been with us, I don't know how many times, to Kenya and different places, but I remember one specific time when Alicia came with him, and that was the worst city in Kenya we've ever been to. So we go, we get there at, I don't know, it was already dark, 9:30 or something, and there was no guards at the hotel where we were going to stay, and that's a no-no because it is dangerous where we go. So a couple of us went while everybody else stayed with the women, and my family was there as well, my wife and three kids. And so we went and we had to find another hotel, and we found that hotel. We made our reservations, and we got there, the gang, and we went there, and the menus were so horrendous. You couldn't even see the menus and the food there, and we were in a town, and it was just more dangerous than we've ever, because it was in the town. I mean, it was right there in the middle of town, and we was on the crusade grounds, and there were kids. Our cameraman, the kids' crusade was getting ready to start. I don't know how many thousands of people were already there and stuff, but anyhow, the cameraman was going across, and there was kids actually flipping off the camera. I'm like, these are African kids. They know how to do that? I guess they know how to do it everywhere. And you know, I'm telling you, a righteous anger came over me. Was you there? Or was you not? Are you still at the hotel? Or at the church? Okay. And a righteous anger came over me, and I said, stop! Stop the music! And then my interpreter, Harry, was there. And Harry is me, but he's black. Buddy, he is exactly like me. He'll do anything that I do. He is amazing. He's been with me since 2014. He is so phenomenal. But I looked out there, and I told those kids, anybody can act like a sinner. Anybody can be negative. And I forget all that came out of me or whatever. And I said, so if you want to be like this, you can go now. And listen, I mean, listen, I'm in the town. I mean, there's people everywhere. They're hearing all this. And, you know, all those kids apologized. And they got to stay in the crusade. And then, unfortunately, a little bit later, we had to get rid of one of them, you know. But it was interesting, and that was the first time I had ever seen your pastor angry. This dude turned 8 shades of red because, again, there were street kids coming. They were starting to act crazy. It was getting really wild, and so everybody's like, in the cars, let's go, let's go, let's go. The crusade was over. Well, somebody had put Elisha in a car way in the back, and Brother Joe didn't know, and he thought she was missing. This dude, I mean, he turned into the incredible Red Hawk. Not green, but Red Hawk. Where is she? Where is she? I mean, man, I mean, this dude loves his wife, bro. He was cray-cray. Everybody was like, Brother Joe, Brother Joe. So we found her, and she's in a car. He calmed down. He didn't cuss. He didn't carry on. But, buddy, he got angry. So, but we've had some great times, and God has done some really cool things. I've been to, I don't know, 275 schools now overseas in Dominican Republic and Aruba and, of course, Africa, Uganda. So I've got to see a lot, and it's very humbling, very humbling. And, you know, you guys have so much here. You guys have so much. You are so blessed. The band, wow, you guys are awesome. Thank you, band. And Caleb, what you do for the kids and the teenagers. You know, we don't even have a high school band right now in our youth. And so I come here, man, I'm jealous. I love it. It's awesome. So keep doing what you guys are doing. Keep sacrificing for these kids. You're teaching them to worship and praise God. And you know what? You'll be rewarded for it all. And you know, and it might seem a little weird at times, but just keep on doing what you're doing. Keep on doing what you're doing. So good job, y'all. And I do have to say that I thought we were in rural country. How many of you guys have been to Only Believe at our main campus in Bakken's? Several of you guys have. Okay. I thought we were cornfield. Dude, I've never looked out of a church window and boom, there it is. Corn. This is a cornfield. And cows on one side and corn on the other. Dude, you got us beat, man. This is crazy. But I love it, what God's doing out here in the middle of nowhere and how he draws people from everywhere, you know? So it's beautiful. And so thank you. I'm so humbled to be here. Thank you so much for allowing me to come in. But before we do anything, do you guys want to play a game or you just want to sit there? You want to sit there? You want to sit there? Oh, you want to play a game? All right, let's play a game. So what I want you guys to do is stand up, kids, and find a partner. Find a partner. And when when you have a partner, come on out into the aisles, okay? And come on out and stand down here. Find your partner. Spread out a little bit so you're just not together. Okay? Find your partner. Make sure I can see your partner. And a couple of you high school kids, if you want to help me out with this will be great. So this won't happen all night and we can get this game done pretty quick because there are more important things I want to talk about here. So come on out, high schoolers. Make sure that they're together. And then you can take some of these. If you know that there's a partner, give them one. Each pair gets one. All right? Each pair gets one.
No, this game makes me...
Dun, dun, dun. All right, guys, spread out. And then make sure you're there, you know, face each other and put that little round thing in the middle on the floor there. Face each other. You got it here, baby. Put it over here like this. There you go, and face each other. All right, yep, just like that. Okay, guys, face each other and put it right there in the middle. All right, there you go. There you go. All right, help them out, college kid or high school kids. Some of you might be in college. I don't know. All right, everybody got one. Every pair? Okay. Here's what's going to happen. This is called head, shoulders, knees, and toes, if you didn't know. I'm going to say head, shoulders, knees, and toes, and you're going to have to make sure you know where your body parts are. So if I say head, where are you going to point? Hey, if I say ears, what are you going to do? All right, if I say nose, what are you going to do? All right, now if I say cone, what are you going to do? You're going to grab the cone. Exactly. The person that gets the cone wins. The person that didn't get the cone gets to go sit down. And then you can give the extra cone to one of the high schoolers. And then you guys got to find another partner. All right? Okay. So is everybody ready?
Yeah.
All right, you're facing your partner?
Yeah.
You're looking at them in their eyeballs. And here we go. Head. Shoulders. Knees. Head. Knees. Head. Cone. Oh, Lucas, you lost, bro, fair and square. All right, find a new partner. Find a new partner.
Here we go.
All right, if you got an extra yellow thing, give it to one of the girls back here. Get your partner, put it on the ground, and get ready. If you lost, you have to sit down. If you lost, we call it the graveyard at church. Get in the graveyard if you lost. All right, are you ready? You got your new partner? Are you got your new partner? All right, put it on the ground. Let's go. Are you ready? Here we go. Oh, we're still looking for a partner. You got one? You got a partner? We're figuring it out here. Are we figuring it out? All right. Ready. Shoulders. Knees. Toes. Ears. Eyes. Nose. Shoulders. Nose. Lips. Ears. Cone. All right. Woo. All right. If you lost, get to the graveyard. If you win, get yourself a new partner. Give your extra yellow things to the girls. All right. Wow, okay, we're getting it now. All right, everybody ready? Everybody ready? Okay, here we go. We got one, two, three left. All right. Shoulders, knees, elbows, elbows, toes, knees, shoulders, head, cone. I love it. All right, if you lost, find a new partner. Who do we have left? Who do we have left? We just have two? We got two? Who do we got? Who do we have? Okay, Berkeley, get you a partner. Come up on stage. You two grab yours. Come up on stage. Let's go. All right, you guys right there on this side. Where's the other one? Where's your partner? You ready? On this side. Okay, here we go. Ready. Ears. Eyes. Nose. Toes. Shoulders. Knees. Hips. Joints. Head. Head. Ears. Nose. Eyes. Tongue. Teeth. Shoulders, head, ears, knees, toes, cone. Oh! All right, the grand finale. The grand finale. Are you guys ready? Woo! Okay, here we go, here we go. Head, shoulders, knees, toes. Head, shoulders, knees, toes. Head, shoulders, knees, and toes. Knees and toes. Head, shoulders, knees, and toes. Knees and cone. We do have an amazing prize for you. Here you guys, you can put it all back. Thank you guys. Our prize is where? Where's our prize at? Okay, which one is it? Da-da-da-da-dun. Oh my goodness, you're kidding me. Wow, you get an amazing red bucket with a bug inside. It's brand new apparently. It still has the name on it. Enjoy, congratulations. Give her a round of applause. Ho, 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 ho. A round of applause. Yes, yes. Why are you not happy? I got the wrong thing? I didn't know that. I'm sorry. I thought you were a country church. You just gave, you know, country things away. Give her a round of applause now. Hey! All right. Very good, very good. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Awesome, awesome. Awesome sauce. Thanks for helping, girls. Thanks for helping. Who's still hungry? Kids are always hungry. Always. All right, so I was praying. I do that every now and then. And I was thinking, what can I share with these kids? And you know what? I was kind of at a loss. I really didn't know what to say to you guys. And so I end up looking at the flyer that you guys have, wherever it went, and I saw that it said anchored in faith, and I was like, well, hello, man, we're a church of faith, you know, Pastor Dosek talks on faith all the time, we live by faith, so I thought, you know what, I'm going to take this, and I'm going to just talk about faith tonight, and how we need to be anchored in faith, and we're going to do it tomorrow as well, but tomorrow, we're going to go a little deeper, no pun intended, and we're going to talk about anchoring our family in faith in this horrendous culture and final days that we have here on the earth. But my questions to you that I have tonight is this. How many of you believe that praying is very important? Okay, some of you don't. Why don't you believe praying is important? I don't understand. You believe praying is important? Yeah? Is praying important? All right, what do you think, Fortnite? Hey, Fortnite, is praying important? Yeah, is that your name? Because it just says Fortnite. I thought your name. Can I call you Fortnite? Or just Fort? Or Knight? No? Okay, what's your name? Christian? Okay, Christian. All right, is praying important? All right, it is. Everybody agrees praying is important. All right, well, how about volunteering in your church? Is that important? It is. You know what? The high school girls and one boy, you know, they were all volunteering. They were giving their time. Yeah, there he is.
They're giving their time, their talents, their abilities. They're volunteering. All right? And the Bible says that when we volunteer and give our time, that we will get a reward for it. It's like we're not just doing it to do it, but we are getting something for doing what we do and volunteering. So it's very important to volunteer. If we didn't have volunteers, these guys couldn't run a church. They can't do it by themselves. They need all of you guys to help, to make it amazing, to make it sound good, look good, feel good. We need all of you guys. So volunteering is absolutely very vital and very important. So what about serving others? Serving others. You guys serve others? Do you guys serve others? As kids, do you serve others? You know, I saw somebody right over here. I don't know what she was doing. I think it was Noah. Where's she at? Where's Noah? Noah was over here. She was on the ground, and another little girl was like doing some cool little braids in her hair. Was that what you call it? Braiding? Is that what you call it? Yeah, she was like, the winner was, and look how you got rewarded already. Man, by helping and serving others, making her hair look super cool, that was awesome. And so, listen, helping others, doing stuff for others is absolutely vital and very important in the body of Christ. Now, how about this? Going to kids' church, is it important? Yeah, it is. Why is it so important to go to kids' church? Why is it important to have these kind of events? Because, did you say that? Come here. Get yourself a piece of candy. Come over here. Because you learn. Yes, get yourself. You got 5 seconds and 5 seconds only to get yourself something out of there. 1, 2, 3. Good job. Awesome. All right. Because we learn. That's right. We learn. What about telling others about Jesus and what he did on the cross for them? Is that important? It's called witnessing, right? That's the last thing Jesus said before he left in the air. He said, what? Make disciples. That's telling people about Jesus. That's our last commission. I think he told it to us last so we wouldn't forget. You know, because I forget a lot of things. So we tell people, how many of you guys witness to people or tell people about Jesus? What were we doing in the park today? Right? We were witnessing. And it's just not one way to witness to people. There's just not one way to tell people and other kids about Jesus. We can have games, have fun, have music, have church, do whatever. But witnessing to people, telling them about Jesus is absolutely vital and absolutely important. Now, how important is it to read this thing right here, the Bible? Is it 50% important, 20%? It's 100%. Who thinks it's 100% important to read your Bible? All right. So, Lucas, you said 110%? Lucas, do you have a Bible? You had one. Lucas, does that mean you don't read it because you don't have it no more? You don't know where it is. Lucas, it's 125% important, and you don't know where it is. Lucas, this is not looking good for you, bro, at all. It's 100,000 times important. Yes. Yes, 15,100 times. Yes, it is. So if it's that important, are you doing it? Are you reading it if it's that important? Because the Bible is life. It's just not another book, guys. It's still the most popular book in the entire world. It still is. And everything in this book is true. No other holy Bible, they call it holy book, is true. There's lies, fabrications, things that hasn't happened, dates that are wrong, but everyone that says anything in it, it's happened. This is amazing. And when you read it, it gives you life, revelation, and it will happen your whole life. And the Bible says we'll continue to be learning when we get to heaven as well. We'll be ever learning. So yes, reading your Bible is absolutely very important. So even though all this stuff we said is good, all this stuff we just said is very important, it's still not good enough. Still not good enough. God is happy that we are doing these things. Yes, he's enjoying what he sees when we're reading and helping and volunteering and sharing, but it's still not good enough. So how is it not good enough? Because, he said, there is still something way more important to him. And he said it will be impossible to please him if we don't do it. What is it? Yes, ma'am. What is it? What is so important to God that it will not please him if we don't do it? What is it? Time's up. Forgive your sins. Can you forgive your sins? What? What are you saying? Huh? What? What? No, yes. To believe in him. We have to, but you know, that still isn't good enough. You know, the devils believe and they tremble. So, not a bad answer, but not the right answer. You already had your turn. Next, what is it? What is it, Miss Winner? To praise him? You know, that's good. We just did that. He loves that, but no, that's not the one thing that he said will not please him. Yes, ma'am. Serve him. We just said that, but that's not what we're talking about. All right, come on. Some of the older ones in here, what is it that he will not, well, who said it? Where? Where? You said faith. That's right. Use our faith. You want a piece of candy? All right. So sometimes you. That's right. We have to use our faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6. Where's the Bibles that are 110% important? You have them? 125. 100 million thousand. Where's your Bible at? Miss 100 million thousand important. Where's it at? You don't know either? It's a great place to keep it. Exactly, yes. Yes, it should not be sitting on a shelf somewhere. You should be using it. So Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, say without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible. All the things that we just talked about are good. But if you don't use your faith, God is still not pleased. Oh, well, that's just unbelievable. That's not fair. Listen, it's his book. It's what he says. So if you're not using faith, guys, then you know what? Yeah, he's happy with you, but he's just not pleased. I mean, have you guys ever cleaned your room halfway and your parents come up and go, okay, really? You can do much better than that. Right? I mean, how many? Come on. Exactly. Well, that's what God says. I love what you're doing, but you can do so much better than that. You need to use your faith. And a very good example of this is found in the story of two brothers, and that is Cain and Abel. So again, if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Genesis, the fourth chapter. Genesis, the fourth chapter. I don't even hear one page turning. Wow, Brother Joe, what are we going to do about this? Man, Genesis, the fourth chapter. And we're going to start in verse 2, and we're going to read it. Thank God they put it up here. This is what spoils us. This is when we put this stuff up on the screen. I don't need to bring my Bible. It's already up on the screen. How do you know what we're saying is true? You can say anything, you know? All right, it says, now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked in the soil. And in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as offerings to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. In other words, he was pleased. It says, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. What in the world is going on? Why in the world? Both of them gave an offering, the Bible says. But God was pleased with Abel's, and he wasn't pleased with Cain's. Does anybody know why that is? Anybody at all? Why was Abel's pleasing and Cain's not? Yes, sir. That is a very good answer. I will accept that answer. Get yourself a piece of candy. Yes. Cain gave his offering his way. Abel gave his offering God's way. Very good. Anybody have another answer? I saw Hawaiian over here. Hawaii, tell me. And Cain just gave him some raiment. Absolutely. So Abel used what? He used which his what? What did Abel do then? He used faith. He used faith, yes. All right, and Cain did not. See, Abel gave his first fruits. In other words, he didn't know if he was going to have any more calves at all. But he knew God was his supplier. So I'm going to give God the first fruit. Cain made sure he had enough for himself first. And then he gave just something to the Lord. He wanted to make sure that he was okay, set back, put some stuff in the cooler, made sure he was good for the week, you know, went grocery shopping, and then he gave God something. And so he wasn't pleased with Cain because he didn't use faith, all right? And Abel did. You understand that, right? All right, okay, all right, I see, we're out there. So here's the deal. But God tried to warn Cain that if he just did what he was supposed to do, everything would be okay. You know, when we get in trouble at home, I mean, what does mom and dad do after they ground you, whip you, sit you on a couch, whatever? What do they do then after you're punished? What do? They think about it, okay? They tell you to think about what you did wrong, you know? They know. They don't have to think. So, I mean, what do? They come and don't they talk to you and ask you, why did you do that? And because you did that, now you're punished. Here's why you don't do that or shouldn't do that. That's what God was trying to do with Cain. He was just correcting him out of love. And so you would have thought that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Cain's creator, came and said, hey, Cain, just do it this way. Just obey and it's going to be okay. You would have think Cain would have went, yes, you know what, God, I'm sorry. I won't do that again. But is that what Cain did? No, that's not what Cain did. No, Cain didn't do that at all. Cain got angry and so mad and let probably a thought come in his head, and he ended up killing his brother. Wow. Killed his brother in cold blood because of his disobedience. How is it that we're always trying to blame somebody else for our mistakes? Or when we do wrong, we're always trying to blame it on somebody else. And you know what I tell people? I say, look in the mirror and get mad at who's ever in that mirror. You know what? Yeah, talk to them. Get mad at them. Because they're the ones that messed up. And that's unfortunately what Cain did not do. And it cost him so much because of what he did wrong. So, in order to please God, we must use our what? Our faith. Now, not only is it impossible to please God without using our faith, but God also said in Romans 1:17 that the just shall live by faith. So in order to please God, we have to use faith, but the just now shall live by faith. We got to use it and live by it. So who is the just? What is the Bible talking about? See, when you read your Bible, you ought to break these things down. Okay, well, who is the just? I don't understand. Figure it out. So who's the just? The just shall live by faith. Who is the just? Anybody know? Who's the just? Yes, ma'am. Yes, that's right. Did you hear your pastor say that? You did? You know what? No candy. No, I'm joking. Come on up here. Give yourself a piece of candy. That's right. Us. But who is us? Just any old anybody? Yes, Hawaii. Christians, those that have believed that Jesus died for them, right? And believe that God raised him up on the third day, they shall be saved. Those are Christians. Those are born again people. And how many of you guys have asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and believe that God raised him on the third day and have asked Jesus to forgive you and that you are saved? You are a Christian. You are born again. How many of you? Raise your hands. Okay. All right. All right, good. Most of you, I see that. So, okay, that's good. So that means you're the just. You're the righteous. And they said, God said that you shall live by faith. Wow. Well, how do we know we're living by faith? Good question. We'll get to that in a minute. So, in order to please God, use it. If you're a Christian, you live by it. All right? And then it goes on. And here's the good news. Romans 12:3 says that if you're a Christian, if you're saved, that God has given each of you a measure of it already. He's already deposited a little bit of faith in you already if you're saved. And that's great. So say with me, I have faith. Like you mean it.
I have faith.
I have faith. You have faith. It's deposited in you. So to please God, you have to have it. The just shall use it. And you have a portion of it already. And he expects you to use it when you turn 17. No? What, 18? No? 21. You know, that's usually the thing you can do everything. 21. When? I'm going the wrong way? Oh, which way is the right way? Keep going lower. 15. 12. 10. 5. 3. In your mother's womb?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I wondered. I wondered. I wondered. When you understand it, you need to start living by it. How's that? All right? That's right. Right there it is. All right, so Matthew now 17:20 says that if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. So how many of you guys have never seen a mustard seed before? Raise your hands. You don't know what a mustard seed looks like. You live out in the country, but you've seen what a cow looks like, but not a mustard seed. All right, raise them high so I can see if you don't know what a mustard seed looks like. All right, I got a mustard seed in here. It's small, but I'm going to show you guys what a mustard seed. You guys want to see what a mustard seed looks like? I'm going to show you guys what a mustard seed. All right, I'll show you what a mustard seed. Ah! My gosh, that's not the right can. I'm so sorry. Are you okay? I mean, you jumped about 4 feet in the air. Are you okay? All right, okay. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. She's never coming back to this place. This guy is crazy. I'm going to let you pass this around. But this is all the faith that you have to have. Now, there's like 10 mustard seeds in there. Look at that. But all you need is one. Isn't that cool how small that is? And you have that faith inside of you. So whatever you want, you can say it, and it will happen because this faith is already inside of you. Isn't that cool? So pass that around, you guys, and look, and this is what you have inside you. This is how much faith you need to move a mountain. And most of us don't need mountains to be moved. So if you need to move a mountain, all you need is that. And you already have all that inside of you. Now, what's the mountain? Okay, there might be a 12 in there. I don't know, Lucas, okay? I'm so sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. What's the mountain? He said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, go, and it'll go. Move here, and it'll move here to there. What is the mountain that he's talking about? Anybody know? What's the mountain? How about a problem? How about a problem? If you have a problem, you can pray, and God will take care of the problem. What if you're sick? Can sickness be a mountain? Absolutely. Sickness is a mountain, right? And all you have to do is ask God to heal you, and he'll do it like that. What did he say? Use faith. You have it. Say to this mountain, which is sickness, disease, be gone, and it'll go. It'll go. Now, how many of you guys have ever done that? How many of you guys have ever been sick, got a headache, something, and you've prayed, and it's went away? Okay, all right, good, yes. That's using your faith. That's using your faith. Whoa, dude, I love it. Caleb, is that you? Dude, you rock. You know what, I'm going to hire you at Only Believe. I'll pay you a lot more than this guy. Okay, that's awesome, I love it. Oh, this is beautiful. This is great. All right, very good. The mountain represents any type of problem that you might have in your life. So now that we know faith pleases God, if we're Christians, we must live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And God has given us the faith to start out our relationship with him. The big question is then, what is it? What is faith? Does anybody know what faith is? I'm asking you a lot of questions. This is like school, but better. Half the stuff you learn in school, you'll never take it with you in life. But everything you learn out of here, you'll use every day of your life. Every day of your life. Did you hear me? You'll use it every single day. So what is faith? Is anybody going to try it? What's faith? Anybody? Nobody? Brother Joe, what are you doing here? How are you preaching here? Yes. What is faith? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But is that foreign to you? Do you understand that statement when you read that? Be honest, yes or no? You do. Okay, good. That's 1 in 100. All right, Noah, what's faith? You had to, yes, that's right. You used your faith when you believed in him and asked him to forgive your sins. You used it, yes. That is actually faith. Right, let me give you another statement that's going to help you, I think, a little bit better. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, when we have faith, we don't need it tomorrow. We don't need it yesterday. We need it now. That's why we call it now faith. If you're sick, do you need faith tomorrow or do you need it today? Today. If you lost your job and you need to use your faith for a new one, do you need to use that faith yesterday or tomorrow or now?
Now,
yeah, or every day until you get the job. That's absolutely right. Who said that? Get yourself a piece of candy. That was good. I like that. I like it when people add to my messages. That's beautiful. I love it. Good stuff. So I'm going to say it this way so you guys can understand it a little better. Faith is what brings the things you pray for from the spirit world to the natural world. You guys get that? Because there's two worlds we're living in here. There's a spirit world that you can't see, and then there's the natural world. All right? So faith is what brings the things you pray for from the spirit world to the natural world. We expect to receive what we don't already have. And so the example that I thought of in my head was when you guys are looking at music and you download music on your phone, can you see the downloading process? No. You might see this little line maybe or whatever. You know, it might show a percentage, but you don't see the actual download. I mean, you can't see that. But so you've asked for something, right, that you cannot see. You see that it's there. You ask for it. And so when you push the download button, that's like using your faith. Because when you push the download button or use your faith to believe for something that's not yet on your phone, that's faith. And then when you hit that download button, then it shows up, right? And when it shows up, you no longer need to use your faith anymore because it's there for that specific thing. Is that a little bit helpful? A little bit helpful. Okay, I hope so. Ooh, boy. All right. We expect it to appear on our phones when we push the download button. Faith is the download part that we do. You know, when you guys ask for presents for Christmas, it's coming in 4 months. Christmas will be here. Snow, I hate snow. Anyhow, Christmas is coming. So, you know, you guys make a list, don't you? A lot of people, do they still do that today? They make a list, you know, and then you give the list to your mom and dad. So you don't see what you want yet, but you're using your faith, hoping and praying that it's going to come. So a lot of times, I know what I did when I was young, is I gave my mom a list, I want a new desk. And I'm like, yes. So I gave it to them. Well, I've never seen the desk yet. It's like I'm using my faith. And so how do I use my faith? I rearrange my bedroom. And I make a spot for the desk that I don't already have. And every day I'm like, Christmas is coming. I'm getting my new desk. Woo! See, I'm using my faith, believing for something I don't have yet. You know, and most of the time, it happened. Sometimes I didn't get what I wanted. But that's faith, okay? Now, It's an invisible source of connecting with God, and it has nothing to do with our natural senses. It has nothing to do with anything in the natural. So I want you to look at your neighbor right now in the eyes. Look at him in the eyes and say, that's not faith. Very good. Now, I want you to touch somebody on their shoulder and say, that's not faith. I want you to smell the person beside you and say, that really isn't faith. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, come on. Shout like you mean it.
Hallelujah.
Woo! That's powerful. And as powerful as that is, it's still not faith. All right? Faith is there, but you can't see it. Can you guys see the wind? No. But it's there. We feel it. All right? Can you guys see gravity?
No,
but I dare you to jump off of here. You're not going to go up. You're going down. All right? So you can't see it, but it exists. Can you guys see thoughts? No, but they're real. Can you guys see feelings? You can't see feelings. You can feel feelings, but you can't see them. All right, can you see sound? Can you see fear? No. Can't see fear? All right. These things are real, but you just can't see them. And so faith is this, and hopefully this will help you. And I put it up on the screen. This is what faith is, F-A-I-T-H. It is forward action in trusting Him. Faith will never go backwards. Faith is never yesterday. Faith is always in a forward motion. And really, faith is never standing still. It's always moving forward. Faith is doing something. Faith is saying something. Faith is believing for something. That's what faith is. Every time I went by that room, I thank God I got my desk. It's coming. Next day, 22 more days. My desk is coming. It's like using your faith. Believe it for something that isn't there yet. And that's what happens. And then when you get it, you no longer need to use your faith for that thing any longer. You can use your faith for something different then. Because when you have it, do you need faith anymore? No. You use it for something else. So giving God your first fruits like Abel did is using your faith. And that will please God. Giving God the tenth of your allowance of your money from your birthday, your chores. And I hear that today the tooth fairy is pretty big too. I mean, he can give some big bucks these days. I got a quarter. I'm hearing people getting 25 bucks, 10 bucks. I mean, you got how much for tooth? A penny. Oh, wow, that's so funny. I love it. But listen, give me, I don't know if you can give a tithe off a penny. Just give the penny, bro. Just give the penny. Just God here, you can have it all, Lord. Woo, I'm sacrificing for you. No, but anyhow, so giving a tenth, giving your first fruits, if you make a dollar, you give God how much? 10 cents, right? All right, so give him 10 cents. You're using faith, so he'll supply your needs. Because he said when you tithe, he'll supply your needs. You never have to ever ask God for your needs to be met as long as you're tithing. I never ask God to meet my needs. Because as long as I'm tithing, he said he's going to do it. It's a promise. So when I give him my first fruits, I put my trust in him. I'm using my faith and I'm giving the first fruits to him. I'm tithing. That's using faith. He's pleased with it. And then he said he's going to give it back to me anyway. And greater. So we're using our faith, but all our needs are met. That's using tithe. So next time you mow the yard or you clean your room and you get paid for it and mom throws you $5, you know what? You better get the first fruits right away, the 50 cents. Mom, I need 50 cents out of that $5. Okay, son. Okay, daughter, I'll do that. And you come to church and you give that 50 cents and say, God, thank you for supplying my need. Bam, put it in there. You're using faith and you're giving him your first fruits. And that's not just obedience, but you're pleasing him as well. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to put faith into action by playing a quick game. Am I doing okay on time? All right. We're going to play a quick game. So I need four students come up here, four high school students. High school students, come on up here. You're my helpers. Dun, the first four, and no more. Okay, now, I need first four. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Man, this is Cary, Ohio. 4 means 5 here? Okay. All right, pick me a student. Quickly. You got your student? Bring him up on stage. And then you're going to blindfold them. Bring them up here and blindfold them. Come on up. Wait a minute here. Hold on. Let me give you the pink one. The guys might get a little cranky with that one. All right. Here you go, Fortnite. Okay. Now you're going to help him put that on there and then help him put this on here, Hawaii, okay? All right. And then you guys just stand here once that is done. We're going to put faith in action. Now make sure they can't see either. Once you do that, okay? Make sure they cannot see. When they're blindfolded, stand them up here in line. Yes. Oh, that's phenomenal. That's beautiful. Yes, that's beautiful. All right. Bring him over here and stand him over here by her. I can't see. Can you see anything? Can you see anything? You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I don't see any veins coming out of his head yet. All right, stand him up here by her. All right, face the audience, okay? All right, very good. You sure you can't see nothing? You positive? Okay. Sir, can you see anything? Nothing at all? All right, face the audience, please. Thank you. Okay. All right, now then, let's see. Over here. Can you see anything? Are you sure? You positive? You can't see nothing. Nothing at all. All right. Can you see something? Anything at all? You positive? You sure? Okay, very good. All right, turn around, face the audience. Very good. Okay. Now then, listen to my instructions since you can't see anything. Dude, why'd you turn him backwards? Turn him backwards.
I'm sorry.
Face the audience.
I'm sorry.
Jeez. All right. Here's what's going to happen. We are going to play some music, okay? When we play some music, I am going to bring four chairs up on stage. And you, by faith, have to find the chair and sit in it. All right? Now, our helpers are going to be here to make sure you don't plummage off the stage or run into the lighthouse and knock it over or hurt the birds on the speakers, okay? But you are going to have to find, oh, let me see those. Those are so cool. I love it. This is awesome sauce. This is going to be more. All right, are you guys ready? When the music starts, you guys are going to find the four chairs and sit in them, okay? And you guys guide them. So, you know, kind of make sure they don't fall off the stage and fall off and run into the ship and all that stuff, okay? You guys ready? Is the music ready? Go. And make it loud. The music, I mean. Very good. All right, you guys should take your blindfolds off. Now, here's my question to you. You guys all used your faith, and I don't think you even knew it. Did you know you were using your faith? I don't know. Did you know you were using your faith for tonight? How did you know? How do you know? Did I tell you that there will be four chairs up on this stage and you have to find them? Did I say that? Yes. Did I say that? Yes. Did I say that? Did I say that? Did you see the four chairs? Did you hear the four chairs? Then how did you know I was telling the truth?
There you go, llama.
Get yourself a piece of candy. That's good. That's awesome. I like that. I like that. You didn't know. You just believed what I said. Yes? Right? In other words, you used your faith and said, I believe what Pastor Randy said was true. I'm going to put my trust in him, and I'm going to make it happen. And so therefore, you searched, and you found the chairs, and they were there just as I said, right? That's using your faith. You're putting your trust in God. You're believing what he said. If I speak to this mountain, it will be moved. And you know what? When you do it, when you pray and ask, he'll do it. Just like I did, and I kept my word. That's using your faith. Is that great? Is that good? You understand it a little bit more? You got a lot of this going on. All right, now, helpers, put the blindfolds back on them. Because here's where the game really gets fun. That was the teaching moment. And, you know, we got to have some fun, right, guys? We have to have some fun? We have to have some fun. That's right. We do. We have to have fun. Dun, dun, dun. But now, what's going to happen is one of the chairs is going to disappear. And then you guys will have to find the chairs. The first three that finds the chairs gets to go to the next round. The one that don't gets to go to the graveyard. You cannot help them. Just guide them. No helping. Okay. Okay, everybody stand up. Help them find the middle of the stage again. Where is she at? Find the stage. There you go. You cannot talk to them. You just guide them. Huh? Yeah. I mean, you can go like, don't go there. You're going to fall off the stage. Yes. But just, you know what I'm saying, guide them. All right, when the music starts, you guys can find your chair. All right. Are you guys ready to find the chairs? Yeah, guide them. Don't let them pull into the ark. I mean the boat.
Here we go.
All right. Music. All righty. Sir, take your blindfold off. I'm so sorry. The three chairs got them. Get yourself a piece of candy. Good try. Give them a round of applause, ladies and gentlemen. Pastor Joe, a round of applause, sir. Round of applause. This is not a round of applause. Okay. Good job. All right. Blindfold them again. Are you ready? Bring them back to the middle. Bring them back to the middle. To the middle. Bring them back to the middle. Is she sleepwalking? All right. When the music starts, you can go. good, very good, very good. All right, I'm blindfolded. Sorry, sweetheart. Get yourself a piece of candy. You lost. All right, you too. Make sure this turkey is like all the way down. I mean, make sure he can't breathe either. That's between you two. We're getting rid of one more chair. It's down to one chair. Who is going to win? All right, go up there beside her. There you go. Beautiful. All right, are you ready? Okay, start the music. Oh. Find the chair. I'm a little tired. Guide him. Don't let him fall off the stage. There you go. Turn around. There you go. Turn around. There you go. This is amazing. You guys are getting warmer. Oh, my gosh. Look how cold he is. There's no way. Oh, my goodness. Wow. You guys are amazing. Oh my gosh. Oh. Oh my goodness. Wow. Who won? She won. All right, get yourself a piece of candy, my friend. That was beautiful. Thank you for these. Thank you guys for those. Thank you, those. Thank you. Thank you. All right, get yourself 10 pieces of candy out of there, whatever you want. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Thank you guys for helping out and fighting on the stage and being an amazing example to the young kids. I love it. That's great. You got 10? No, this is 10 in Botkins, okay? There you go. All right, give a round of applause. Woohoo! Way to go. Jeez. All right, so that is an example of using your faith. You're believing what God said. You're trusting that he'll do what he says, and you're giving it over to him, and then it happens. That's faith, guys. That's using it. And we need to start when we're young, not when we're 8, 12, 17. Right now, you can start using your faith, because each and every one of you that has given your life to Jesus has a measure of it. And you know, guys, here's the deal. Did you guys know that this is kind of like the mustard seed, I guess, of faith? You know, you start out like this, right? You start out kind of small. And it's okay, because you can still get a lot done. Remember, the mountain can be moved. But did you know that faith grows? What is it? It's what? Your lost penny. What lost penny? I don't know. I don't understand what you mean by a lost penny. What's happening here? I don't understand. What is going on here? It's just, what? It's faith. I mean, come on, guys. I mean, look at this. Faith will actually just grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. Faith will grow and grow and grow. Isn't that amazing? This is actually God's straw. He let me borrow it because I told him I was coming here. And he said, sure, my son, you can borrow my straw. So I just, you know, borrowed his straw. So, but faith will grow. Faith grow. She says, you're lying. You don't think God's straws could be this big? I mean, come on. Bigger? Okay. Apparently, if the foot, you know, is his earth, the earth is his footstool, it's probably a lot bigger. But my whole point is, guys, faith grows. Faith grows. All right? It starts out small, but it grows and grows and grows. You know what? When I first bought my house, I only had $23.50. And I sowed it all. You know what? And what happened was, believe it or not, and you can believe it or don't believe it, but we bought our house for $23,500. And I sold $23.50, me and my wife did. And we bought our house for $23,500. And you know what? It sold three times before we even got it. The third time, we were mad. We were upset. We thought, oh no, you know what? There's no hope. You know, we almost lost our faith. But thank God we had other people, and I had my father-in-law, and we prayed. And we, do you want that house? Yes, we do. Then come on, let's pray. And we prayed. And I walked around that house, and we got that house. Now, my next house was not $23,500. My next house, oh, I don't even know what it's worth today. At that particular time, it was worth $600,000, and I bought it for $232,000. My faith grew. God helped. I believed for something greater, and God gave us that. So your faith will grow. You know, when, I'm gonna tell this tomorrow, I won't tell today, but when my son, Quentin was 6 months old, we were at the lake on the pontoon boat, and Nicole took Alexis and Lincoln to the bathroom, and all of a sudden Quentin, 6 months old, started to cry. I mean, just crazy cry, convulsions, and I'm on the pontoon boat, and I'm like, what is going on with this kid? I didn't know what was happening. What is happening to him? And I look down, and I see that he's got this big red mark on the bottom, on his leg, and I saw that a bee had stung him. Now, instantly, fear tried to grip me instantly because I'm at Indian Lake. There's no hospital for 50 miles. Nowhere around. My thoughts went 100 miles an hour. What if he's allergic to that? Oh, my gosh, he could die. I don't even know if we had EpiPens back then. We must have. I don't know. But I just, and then all of a sudden I stopped and I said, no, 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 no thoughts, no. You know what? I laid my hands on him and I commanded that bee sting to disappear and dry up in the name of Jesus. And you know what? It did it right in front of my eyes. All of a sudden that red spot went, ting, just like you'd see in a movie. And the kids were coming back from the bathroom. I said, Nikki, come here. Quick, hurry up. Quit walking. Come here. And they came and said, what? And I said, you guys just missed an amazing miracle. And all he had from signs of that bee sting was still his tears that were coming out. And I told them the story, and they're like, wow, Dad, that is amazing. I said, that is amazing. I said, I used my faith, and it worked. It worked. And then I found out why the bees were there, because the two older kids had put Sprite in the squirt guns and were squirting each other. Ah! You know, so I grounded them, but Quentin was healed. To know. So faith will grow. And we're going to end with this last story. So here we go. It's in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. And we're going to start reading it. Let's see. We'll go to 1 to 7. You got it up here? All right, it said, the wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he reverenced the Lord, but now his creditor is coming to take my two boys and his as slaves. It's one thing to lose a car. It's one thing to lose a house. But when you're going to lose your kids and they know it, I'm going off to be slaves to pay for a debt that my dad had, but he's dead now. I can't imagine the torment that mom had went through. And it goes on, and it says, 4:2. Oh, sorry. That's okay. You're forgiven. Maybe you're forgiven. Do what? Oh, I didn't read it? Oh, yeah, but now his creditors is coming to take my two boys as his slaves. I thought I said that, but that's okay. I'd read it on my phone, but I didn't bring my phones down there. I'm so sorry. Did I not tell you I was going to do all of them? I thought I said on there I was going to do them all. No, that's okay. Sorry, guys. My bad. Elisha asked her, what can I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? She said, your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil. Then he said, go and borrow empty containers from everyone, from all your neighbors, and do not just get a few. So she left after she had shut the door behind her and her sons, and they kept bringing her containers, and she kept pouring. Here's the thing. She had to use her faith in a big, big way, and she was desperate. And Elisha said, okay, you got this little jar of oil. That's great. Go to all your neighbors, and I want you to borrow every jar you can. Did that make sense? You want me to borrow empty jars? Are you psychopath, Elisha? Number one. Number two, I've already asked my neighbors for everything. I've already asked them last week for some Grey Poupon. I asked them for the mustard the week before. I asked them if they'd help me, you know, with some bread because I have nothing. And you really think they're going to give me some jars? They've had enough of me. How many of you guys, your neighbors come over and ask for everything all the time? And then sometimes you're like, here they come again. But we're Christians. What do you want? You know? She had to be embarrassed and ashamed. But she believed what Elisha said. And so she said, boys, go do it. It don't make sense. Sometimes when God says something, it does not make sense. Just believe and trust. Believe and trust. Even at your age, believe and trust. And so what did she do? She said, okay, I'll do what you said. And then so she did that. She went and she had her little jar of oil. And you guys, do you guys know the story, the whole story? How many of you guys know the story? How many of you don't know the story? You don't know the story? I don't know if the jar was this big or bigger, but it said a small jar of oil, so it might have been smaller than this. But it said right there, so they left, she shut the door, they brought her containers, and she took that little bit of oil, and the Bible said she just poured it. And of course, when it was absolutely, I guess, mostly empty and they couldn't pour anymore, she said, he said, bring me another jar. So bring me another jar, Caleb, and we'll see what happens. Gave her another jar, and she was just like, what? Are you kidding me? Whoa, give me another jar. Gave her another jar. And what did she do? She's like, what in the world? There's no way. Give me another jar and another jar and another jar. We don't know how many jars that they borrowed, but they borrowed enough to where they said there isn't any more jars. So I don't know how many jars you guys have in your house, but they borrowed all that they had. And then they just kept pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring. They used their faith. But they had to do something first. They had to believe and trust, didn't they? And then they just kept pouring and pouring and pouring. And then, of course, when they thought that the jars were completely empty, and she looked in and she's like, are you kidding me? There's still more here? There's no way there can be any more. It's impossible. It doesn't say how many jars that she filled up, but it does say that it was enough to pay her bills. And then Elisha said, take the rest. And you know what? Whoops, sorry. And live on the rest. So if she had not have believed God, believed Elisha, done what he said, even though it didn't make sense, you know what? She would have never, ever, ever, ever got the miracle. Is that true? They used their faith. It didn't make sense. It didn't make any sense at all. But they did it, and it continued to work and work and work and work. That's God. That's faith. Amen? You guys understand a little bit more of what we're talking about? So today, what I want to ask you guys to do is I want you guys to also use your faith tonight. Now, most of you guys said that you're saved, you've given your life to Christ. But I want to ask you, is there anybody right now that's sitting here that, you know what, I have pain in my body? I got pain in my knee. I got pain in my ear. There's a ringing going on. There's something happening. I'm talking about anybody, adults, kids, whatever. Is anybody here? Raise your hand if so. All right, good. Stand up. It's fine. Stand up. Yep, stand up. Stand up, okay? Kids, anybody of you, any of you guys? Any of you guys, you got something going on? Maybe you can't see properly. I don't know what it is. But we're going to use our faith tonight. Man, I'll tell you what. And God's going to heal. Now, here's what you're going to do. Sir, come on out here in the aisle. You got something on with wrong with you? Come on out here. Come on out here, my man. I had 80 kids in my kids' church, SLAM, second to fourth grade. There's a little girl that came from South Africa. She had to have an emergency surgery, or her appendix were going to burst or something. I can't remember what it was. But they brought her all the way over here from South Africa because it was very serious. She was in the kids' church, and she was sitting there, and I said to the little girl who brought her, "What is wrong with that girl?" She couldn't speak any English. She spoke French. And she said, she has to have an emergency surgery, and I don't know why. I said, okay. So I asked all the kids in the kids' church. I said, do you believe that God can heal her? And you know what they said? They said, yes. And I said, okay. I said, those of you that believe that God can heal her, I want you to come up here right now. And a bunch of these kids came up. And I put that little girl in the aisle like I'm doing right now with these guys. Now, those of you guys that believe that when God, we pray, God will touch these guys and they're going to be healed, I want you guys to come up right here and stand behind them. All right, we got a lot of faith in here. Good. That's why I want. All right, stand behind all, any of them. You guys stand behind them, whatever. Stand behind them. So these kids in my kids' church did just what you're doing today. They stood behind this little girl from South Africa who didn't speak any English. And I said, I want you to lay your hands on her, and I'm going to pray, and you're going to believe with me. And I said, also, if any of you have anything that God is speaking to you about any of these people that are sick right now or have pain in their body or whatever, I said, I want you to pray it with me as well. And so when we prayed for her, when I ended, I prophetically said, after I was done, I looked at the little girl and I looked at the person. I said, when they look at her Wednesday, they are going to say, why did you bring her here? There's nothing wrong with her. And inside, and then I went, oom. I said, why did you say that, you dummy? Because that wasn't me talking. That was the Holy Spirit talking. So she went away. And we were done praying. Wednesday came and I heard nothing. And I was not happy. Why didn't she call me? I want to know. Thursday morning, I got a phone call. And the lady that had the little girl, they said, Pastor Randy, you're not going to believe this. And said, oh, yes, I am. That's exactly what I told her on the phone. Oh, yes, I am. What is it? They said they were getting ready to go in for surgery. And the doctor said, I want to check her one more time. And they did another x-ray on that little girl. And when the doctor was done, looked at everything, he was puzzled. And he looked at Jesse, who was the mother that had the little girl, and said, why did you bring her here? There's nothing wrong with her. My exact words. Woo! So she came back Sunday, and the testimony and the kids in the kids' church, they were roaring. I was saying, you helped do that. You helped do that. Your faith helped get this little girl healed. Way to go. And then I had another thought that came to me. I said, let's go to the main sanctuary and let's tell Pastor Dosek what happened back in kids' church. And they said, yes. So I took all 80, 90 kids and I brought that little girl and we came to the backstage and Pastor Dosek was preaching up a storm. And I said, excuse me, excuse me. And he looked back and he's like, what is going on? He said, what's that? I said, Pastor, we have a testimony and it's a good one. And he's like, in pastor form, well, I guess you can tell it. You're out here. What am I going to do about it, you know? And I told them the testimony. And I said, you know, she speaks French. And a lady in the crowd, a doctor's wife, said, I speak French. Get up here. Now, that little girl had said nothing from Wednesday to the Sunday. I mean, she just, whatever. That lady started speaking French to her, and that little girl, boom, here it came. She started crying. And she said that on the plane, I was in big pain, much pain. And she said that it just stopped. And the crowd roared, and they was going crazy. And you know what? It's going to happen here. Because you're going to help use your faith. All right? You're going to lay your hands and help me. And you know what? God is going to move, and they are going to be healed. They're going to be set free. They are going to be delivered. Now, you believe that? All right. Touch them right now. Go ahead. Whichever one you guys want to lay hands on. And I want you to pray with me, okay? What do we have? What's going on? Your back's hurting. All right, I saw when you walked up here, you're a little, lower back? Okay, all right. So guys, we're going to pray for his back, all right? When I was in Africa, was it 2 years ago? 2 years ago, we was in Kenya. A guy got in a motorcycle accident. They call them Boda Bodas over there. They look like big mopeds, all right, is what they look like. And his back was messed up. And I went out there, and I laid my hands on him, and I barely said, Jesus. And a pop, it popped. And I said, dude, did you feel that? And he said, well, yes, I did. I said, get up on that stage and tell everybody. Build somebody else's faith, you know? So you guys ready? Are you guys ready? Are you ready? All right, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you right now. And God, I use my faith, and these kids use their faith. And God, I command the pain in this back, this lower back, right now to loose him and let him go in Jesus' name. Oh God, I thank you, Father. The vertebrae straighten up, do what they're supposed to do. The very cause and root of this pain to leave his body in Jesus' name, God, right now. And we believe as touching. And God, I thank you for it. I thank you for moving on his behalf, God. And we know that it is done in Jesus' name. And all you said with me, amen. And amen. And amen. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What is going on? Man, dude, listen, you're shaking like crazy. You just got hot, too. Super hot. You feel any heat right now on this back? You get something is going on right now. Man, you just like got, do you feel how hot this back just got? Isn't that hot? Dude, something happened right there in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for it, Lord God. I thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Start doing something by faith. Start doing something. Come on. Amen. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How's it feel? How's that feel? Isn't that amazing? That's God. Isn't that cool? All right. What's up with you? What's going on? You have what? Something has to break. Go in Jesus' name. Jesus is above asthma, right? He's above asthma. Asthma has no hold on you. It cannot hold you because you're a child of God. Right? Lay hands on her right now. Pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus. God, I curse the very root of asthma in her body, in her chest cavity. In the name of Jesus, I command asthma to leave her body and go and be no more. God, I thank you that her breath and her lungs be clear of this thing in the name of Jesus. I speak to it and command it to go. God, I thank you for it. You left her body right now, God, in Jesus' name. And Lord God, I thank you, Father, that she is free, free, free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, all you guys said with me, amen. 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 Hallelujah. That diagnosis, he's not going to find nothing. So you thank God every day. I'm free. I'm free. All right. All right. Come on. Hallelujah. We believe the report of the Lord. Yes. Amen. All right. Come over here, guys. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Lay hands on him. Come on. Also, what's the matter? What's going on? our faith for him. All right, one more. Come on, guys. Let's go. What do we got going on? Which one? We got another angle, guys. Another. You got healed? Come here. Come over here. Come on. Use your faith for somebody else, too. Come on over here. This one here. Just right there in the middle where the ball is. Okay. All right.
get up and worship, just think about how much God loves you.
Father, in the name of Jesus,
let's lift your hands and worship Him for all He's done.
We speak to this ringing in this ear. We curse right now.
Personal, say He loves me.
Thank you, Jesus.
He loves.
So here's what happened. He had this thing wrapped up. He had it all wrapped up because it was swollen. Now look, you guys see any swelling? God healed that thing, y'all. And you were a part of it. It was black and blue as well. It's gone. Look, you guys, your faith, come on. Yes, yes, yes. Now where's my ringing? Is the ringing there still? Can you tell with the music going? You can't tell?
Oh, Lord.
You can hear it, but you couldn't hear that before. Wow. Okay. That's beautiful. Yeah, I think he needs to, like, quit playing so loud in his ear, too. God heals it. Okay, now turn it up to 10 again. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Come on, Caleb. God, faith. Oh, all right, hallelujah. Come on, give God a hand. Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Do you guys feel that presence? You feel His presence? You know, it's amazing how our emotions work in His presence because He's so powerful and He's so sweet at the same time and He loves us so much. Now, I'm going to have to ask, is there anybody here tonight that, you know, you say, hey, PRW, man, you know, I love what you said and everything, but I'm just not living right. You know what? The world sucks. I'm in it and I'm losing. But I'm saved and I'm trying. If that's you and you need prayer, then you come up here right now. Now you say, I don't know Jesus at all. I've just completely just backslid. I haven't prayed forever. I'm just living for the world instead of living for God. If that's you, now's the time, y'all. Now's the time. Just be honest. We're family. We're family. We're supposed to be here for each other. You know what? Family talks about things that are hard to talk about. You know what? It's good to be. There's no judging here. All right? No judging at all because we all go through stuff. We all fail. We all fall. But we're supposed to be for each other. So if you're messed up, come up here. This is the time. Why he's here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? If he came tonight, we'd all go, and these places, the only thing they'd be is clothes. All right? Or would you be here picking up the clothes? All right. Going once. Going twice. I believe everybody's heart is clean then. All right, let's finish up this song as we go out. Come on, hallelujah. Bring it up, girls. Good job. Let's go. Come on, y'all.
Oh, how He loves us.
He's given each of us faith. He didn't just choose certain people to give faith, right?
Amen.
He gave all of us faith, and I'm so thankful for that tonight. Let's one more time raise our hands. God, we thank you for meeting us in this place. We thank you for healing. We thank you for teaching us to how to use our faith for your glory, God. And help this just to be the starting point of as our faith grows and grows and grows, and this world is changed and these children become world changers because of the faith that you have taught them how to use. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Everybody said amen.
All right, who is ready for the giveaways? All right. All right. So, first thing we're going to start with. Okay. All right. So, we're going to go ahead and start. I want everybody to go sit down. So, all right. I'll let you pull them out. Yep. What was that?